Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan M. Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Megan M. Biro here, reporting live from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I am just back from a week of vacation. It was so much fun. I was out in the Midwest with family and friends. That was so awesome. Living on the river, it felt so good. But I'm back, and I'm excited because we've got a really cool topic, the testimonial economy, with a very dear friend of mine and somebody, honestly, he might even be one of the first 10 people I met on Twitter. So today's event is awesome. Thanks for being here. Thanks to my friends and sponsors. This is a topic that I think addresses how well brands cultivate relationships with their customers, and I'm going to be aspirational, and even employees. We're talking about brand evangelism and how companies can use testimonials to help tell their story. Really, when you think about it, who the heck cares how well a company toots its own horn, right? Like, sorry, but we're very much past that at this point. It's really important to hear what end users or consumers have to say about your product or service. So here today is one of the smartest people I know, and I say that, as I mentioned, he's a dear friend of mine. Our guest today is Mark Babbitt. Mark is the CEO and founder of U-Turn, a social resource for young professionals that Mashable calls a top five online community for starting your career. He's also president of the leadership community Swish and Shift, soon to become Work IQ, which is exciting. I want to hear more about that. You can read up on Mark on Entrepreneur, Forbes, HBR, and many other outlets. He's co-author of A World Gone Social, How Companies Must Adapt to Survive, and was recently named one of Inc. Magazine's top 100 leadership speakers. Ooh la la. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I gotta knock that down a little bit so we can talk about the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're very accomplished. Mark, you've done a lot.
Well, and my pleasure to be here. But you know, one of the fun things about what we do, and you mentioned this, that I think you were also one of the first few people I met on Twitter. Wait, 2009,
yeah.
2010
maybe? Right.
So isn't
you
it
and I
fun
go way back.
Yeah, after all these years to be having this conversation.
Isn't it? It's ironic, it's fun, it's funny. And I'm glad I'm still alive. I'm glad you're still alive to tell the story of us and, you know, how brands, just like ours, if we want to talk about brands, right? I guess we'd call ourselves personal brands. And I've got a big smile on my face. I mean, I don't know, Mark. Are we still calling ourselves personal brands?
We are. We are. You know why? Because we haven't come up with a better buzzword yet, right?
So, exactly.
Somebody will come up with a phrase that replaces that. But yeah, that's one of the longest-running buzzwords on the planet, I think.
It is. Hey, Mark, for those out there in my audience who don't know you yet, give us the little, I don't know, maybe I'll even call it an elevator pitch. You want to get really buzzwordy and buzzphrasy on us? Tell us about yourself.
There you go. Well, so I kind of stumbled into this whole social media thing. You know, we launched U-Turn in 2010, and we did it in a very backwards way. We had planned on working with colleges in a B2B model. We were going to help college career centers make career development cool again. And right then the recession hit, and college career centers were you know, the people we've been talking to for a year, we call them to say, okay, we're launching now. We're ready to partner with you. And we find out they'd just been laid off and they didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So we decided to go the routes of social media, digital media, blogging, video, that kind of thing. We were one of the first communities to do that. And at the time, I didn't see, as an old white guy, I didn't see the power of social media. I certainly didn't see the power of content yet. And my my crew had to drag me kicking and screaming into this different way of running a business, and I've been an evangelist ever since. And that's my claim to fame, is I'm one of the oldest guys on Twitter, I think. So
I was going to say, is it possible that you're still alive, Mark? And yes, you are a baby boomer. And yes, we are talking about generations still to this day. And yes, actually, I understand your walk in digital and social, because I took a similar one with Talent Culture, as you well know. So you and I have a lot in common on that front. So listen, I believe today's consumer is well-versed in how to vet out buying options. So why is it that brands think they can toot their own horn and people will listen right now in this crowded marketplace?
Well, here's the deal. Nobody is. Nobody's listening. And the demographics and the surveys are proving this. What we say about ourselves, our personal brands or our corporate brands, is carrying no weight with our audience right now. And it's actually positively impacted this, let's call it phase one of social media, where all we talked about was number of followers and likes and some people took self-promotion to an art form and made the humble brag
to new height.
Humble. Oh my God! And it's still going on today, right? I was going to say, Mark,
that hasn't ended for some of our mutual friends who I'm not going to name any names, but man, video has made some superstars out of people, huh?
We could name names, but we're classier than that, so we won't.
We are.
And the notoriety those people have received has spawned this whole new age. I just posted on Facebook about this the other day that if I have one more person get an ad on Facebook telling me how they got famous by following their proven system, and it's like, wait, you're famous? I'd never heard of you before. So it hasn't stopped at all. So, here's the thing: the people that do care about providing value, the people who have been able to hold on to their integrity on social media, on digital media, we've learned that talking about us is a very short, might cause a very short-term spike in your mm-hmm. sales revenue, but it actually puts a little dent in your credibility. And so talking about yourself just doesn't have the power that it used to. And not just on social and digital media, but even on traditional advertising, we're losing
Agreed.
Our audience, right? There are quite literally startups getting billions of dollars in funding to help you tune out commercials on TV and the other traditional outlets. And so the very art of advertising is being digitally blocked, right? So what does that mean? It means we have to stop talking about ourselves in that very traditional way. And the best way, but you still have to remain active. You still have to become relevant. So how do we fix that? Well, we get others to talk for us and about us.
Yeah.
And they talk about the quality service that we provide. They provide testimonials on what a great experience they had with us. And it doesn't matter if it's maybe us as a consultant or the newest Mexican restaurant down the road or the newest hotel on TripAdvisor. You need that testimonial economy to kick in so you can actually start to build the brand that has some objectivity assigned to it and not just you spouting off about how great you are.
Let me just clarify for the audience for a minute, Mark. And you're talking about personal brands or consumer brands, right?
Both.
It could go in either direction.
Well, let's think about this from an HR point of view, right? If in the old days, we just read a resume, called for an interview if we were interested, and you hoped it would fit. Well, everybody knows now that's not the way it works, right? We check out our online presence. We look at Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. Well, if you go to somebody's Twitter account, Facebook account, LinkedIn account, and all you see is those humble brags about themselves, but they have no social proof in the way of testimonials, in the way of endorsements, and on Twitter, there's nobody talking about the great work they did or how wonderful it was to see them at the latest volunteering event. Right? You need that social proof that actually declares that, yes, you are good at what you're good at, and you believe strongly in the passions that you claim to, you know, claim on your resume and claim on your LinkedIn profile. And without that social proof, both for your personal brand and your corporate brand, you're in trouble compared to the competition.
Mm-hmm. How heavily do you believe people rely on reviews and testimonials right now, say as compared to, say, a year ago?
Well, it's big. I mean, if you're LeBron James, you're still going to get some visibility, right?
Right.
But let's take all the rest of us, and let's just say you are that new Mexican restaurant right down the road, and I wouldn't even try, even though it might look nice or the advertising might be effective, or you might give 2-for-1 entrees, I'm still going to Yelp before I come see you. I am. And I'm going to find out what other people said before I spend money at your restaurant or leave my favorite restaurant to go try yours instead. And it's amazing. And it, by the way, it's not just Yelp. It's TripAdvisor. It's Porch.
I was going to say,
Right. It's all the niche boards.
Endless.com,
Glassdoor. Right. There's so many of them now, where we can go and review the seemingly objective reviews.
Seemingly dot dot dot. But you know what the weirdest is? When you go somewhere and there's no reviews. To me, that's almost weirder than having bad reviews.
Oh,
again,
absolutely.
Social proof. Like you don't exist.
If you have no reviews, you better have opened last week. I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, literally. Or like an hour ago.
Yeah, I mean, but that's how prolific this has become, right? It's, you know, Facebook is doing reviews now. Google, of course, has been doing them for a long time. Everybody has a review platform because the content drivers know those reviews are what's driving people to their sites. That's what's driving traffic right now. Everybody has some kind of a review outlet available to them, and it's because of this testimonial phone.
Talk to me, because this is a topic you and I are both passionate about. What's the difference between brand ambassadors and brand champions right now?
Well, not two hours ago, but right now. that's a great question. I don't know anymore if there is a big difference. Brand ambassadors were typically thought of, maybe we use the word influencers now, and it's more of a paid for service. Where a brand champion is more organic, right? It's that person who went to your hotel room or used you as a consultant or worked for your company that just loved being there enough that they're not afraid to be vocal and put their own personal reputation on the line by supporting your brand, right? And that is the best possible scenario, is that you provide such good service, you make such a difference, you make such an impact that people go on social media and say, I just worked with Megan Bureau on this amazing project. I had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to work with her again, right? Well, now the next potential client goes to your Twitter account or your Facebook page and they see that, well, they're going to pick up the damn phone, right?
Yeah.
And compare that, you know,
lucky me, sometimes they actually do that.
No, I guess it doesn't
surprise
me.
Sometimes that happens, which is good.
No, well, you know, the really good businesses for decades have relied on referrals rather than sales tactics to build their business. Well, now we have a global audience on social media, right? And we've gotten past the vanity metrics. We're actually out there trying to make a difference. We're trying to say or do something so important that people – pick up our mission as their own and aren't afraid to send that tweet or provide a testimony on LinkedIn or say something nice on Facebook. And every one of those is social proof that you are good at what you do.
So listen, I believe, and I think many other people in the audience may think this, I don't know, I'd love to hear from you using WorkTrends as our hashtag, that a company's next best employee is currently a customer. So let's just play along with this thought for a moment. If true, wouldn't it be amazing to have people come into an organization already knowing something about it meaning the culture, right? Because they love the product. I see this situation as an engagement strengthener, right? Call me crazy, which ultimately creates better engagements. What are your thoughts on that? And feel free to debunk me if I'm moving in a direction you think is off.
Well, you're not going to get much of an argument from me there, because I actually hire people as interns, as employees in our communities that already love us and have proven their passion for our mission. And I haven't put a job description on a job board or asked to see a resume in a decade, right? Because if we're doing this well, then we already know the people who are fully engaged. And it's not just my little companies are doing this. You look at the work that Taco Bell is doing on Snapchat, mm-hmm. Instagram. They're going out and they're finding the people who are vocal champions, digital champions of their brand, and they're actually going to check them out online, and they're making job mm-hmm. offers, and it's a great way to go. Why would you put yourself? Let's just say you're an employer. Why would you put yourself in a position of having to sell your brand, your culture, the job you have open to somebody who isn't already interested in your brand?
Yeah, I know. Right. They're not tuning in. They're not interested. Now, the other part of this, though, I want to be clear, because I don't think we should be painting this picture that it's always going to be rosy because somebody's been a great brand champion of yours in your LinkedIn group or on your Facebook page, what have you. Culture is a more complex thing. Sometimes people get into a culture and 60 days later, it's really not a good fit. And they had no idea. Like, that's still happening, too, don't you think, Mark? I mean, there's still... It's not as fluid as we'd like it to be probably yet, but we're getting there, right?
And it's not. And, you know, we started this conversation by talking about buzzwords. I'll tell you, when people love your brand or your product or your service but don't love your culture, that is indicative mm-hmm. of a lack of transparency. That's somebody who walked in thinking one thing about your brand, and then once they got there, they found out something completely different. And mm-hmm. we don't have to go very far to you take United, their culture is always United Airlines. I don't think anybody ever respected their culture, despite the billions of dollars they bring in every year. But you take a company like Uber, who was, the prince of startups, and in a $68 billion evaluation, and you see what's happened to them lately on the fraternity brother culture, and clearly there was a lack of transparency there. They were thought to be this amazingly cool startup, and everybody wanted to work at Uber or Facebook or Google, and now everybody's going, whoa, what a bunch of crap. This mm-hmm. is not how they projected themselves in social and digital media and within the traditional media.
Yep.
There's something really wrong here.
It came back to haunt. And, we knew it would, right? It was just only a matter of time. And now that wave is just getting – that time frame is just getting shorter and shorter. People just have BS detectors like nobody's business, and they're willing to talk about it 30 days in, 60 days in, 90 days in. And by 90 days, I know that, that's the stereotypical window, right, in which we decide it's a good fit, in air quotes, whatever that means to your unique culture. But that time frame is just shortening right now. Because people to your point, Mark, nobody has time. Nobody has time to waste because there's other things on the horizon always. We are absolutely bombarded with opportunity at all times. We know about it.
Well, and we're also bombarded by the opportunity to filter out the bad eggs, right? I just had a person that interned for me 3 years ago, and they reached out, and I'm not going to say the name of the Wall Street firm, but he said, "Hey, I've gotten this amazing offer. It's everything I ever wanted as a finance guy. I'm starting to hear some bad things about the culture. What do you know about company X?" And I said, mm-hmm. "Well, I've never worked there, but let me put it out to my network and let's see." Well, the feedback that came back was these guys were nothing but a meat market. It was nothing like the culture they presented during the job interviews or in the traditional media.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster waiting to happen. So here this mm-hmm. young man thought it was his dream job, but without going to Glassdoor or Indeed or any of those, he was able to initiate his personal network and find out what really goes on at that company before he made a major career mistake. And And so it isn't just the opportunities that are available to us. We are now more aware of how to filter out the bad opportunities. And that's where your company culture, that's where your lack of transparency can just come back and kick you in the butt. And it is.
Yep. Hey, Mark, what are some ways brands can manage bad reviews? Speaking of all this, like if you've got a bad review of your product or your service, and actually have that shift to your favor, because there are brands out there who are struggling, you know, who they've got a crappy review, but there's like eight of them in a row. Thoughts on that?
Well, here's the thing is this is so simple. And it takes just a few minutes a day, but almost nobody does it, Megan. You have to be an active digital listener, right? If your your brand is one of those that's being talked about on Glassdoor, Google Reviews, Yelp, you have to either do it yourself, and at my level, I do it myself, or let's just say you're Buffett or somebody like that that clearly isn't on social media very much. You have to have somebody in your office responsible for checking out Yelp every morning or TripAdvisor or whatever your niche site is, Porch if you're a contractor. Somebody better be checking what's being said about you because that is your reputation. And if you get a bad review and you don't answer it, then the truth is assumed. If you don't reach back out and try to fix that situation, then the reader of that testimonial, negative in this case, is going to assume that that person is speaking the truth. On the other hand, if you just reach out as the department manager, as the owner, as the consultant, as the employer, and say, Brian, I am so sorry that you had a bad experience here. I'm going to fix this. I'm on this. Please email me at mark at blah, 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 right? Then the person that's coming onto Yelp, TripAdvisor, wherever, now says, oh, that person's actually accountable. They're digging into this. They're going to fix this. And it completely negates the negative comments. And it's a human nature thing. People, we want to believe in the good, right? But when you get, as you said, eight bad reviews in a row, and you're only getting one out of five on Yelp, and you're not answering, well, that's implied truth, and that's now the reputation of your brand.
No question about it. Can you tell us a little bit more on how companies are using testimonials to their advantage? They're tracking, I'm assuming. I mean, that's the first step, but I mean, talk to us about, you know, the most innovative brands that you're seeing out there who are actually putting this into motion.
Well, the best companies, and we call it corporate social responsibility, they're actually starting to let people do the talking for them, right? You look at the great work Delta Airlines did recently with their Twitter channel, Wendy's, and their humorous responses to even attacks, right? And they're just being human. And particularly what I like about Wendy's is that, let's just say they get attacked. Well, they built up a strong enough community, a stable of champions online, that if somebody says something negative about them, Wendy's just sits back now and lets a member of the community respond for them. And it turns into this, usually turns into this humorous little battle of words and battle of wits on Twitter. They just retweeted 8 million times, and it's really good for their brand. And we can do the same thing with reviews. And you know, a lot of companies are still doing the copy and paste thing. But here's what it really boils down to.
What do you mean by that?
They're grabbing the best words of the testimonial, let's say on Yelp, and they're moving them over to Twitter and Facebook, and they're saying, here's what so-and-so said about us. Well, that's still, in a way, you talking about you. Rather than do that, just very sincerely reach out to that person on Yelp, on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, and say, we want to thank you for the amazing review you just left us about dinner you had last night. It means a lot to us. Boom, done, right? Because now the reader of that is going to go over to Yelp or wherever, and with zero arrogance implied, with zero humble bragging done, they're going to look at that review and go, wow, they really had a good dinner at that place last night. And so that's the thing. Just be so generous with the thank yous and the gratitude and in a very public way That's the best way to leverage those great testimonials without becoming one of those smarmy self-promoters.
Okay, so here comes the more personalized question for Mark S., as in Sam Babbitt, the baby boomer. I'm just having fun with you. By the way, I remember when you didn't have a middle initial. Just saying.
Well, you know why? Because somebody else had Mark Babbitt on Twitter. I didn't have any choice. So.
Oh, really? There was another.
Yeah.
You had an imposter.
Yeah. I did.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You're so big these days. We can't even keep up with you, Mark. What's next? And we'll talk about that in a minute, by the way, because I want to hear what's cooking on your career front and your companies and all that good stuff. But how much weight do you place on testimonials or reviews to direct your own personal buying habits? I'm just curious.
It's huge.
How does that work?
I travel a lot, as you do, Megan, and especially when, let's say, a sponsor of a speaking event puts you up at a certain hotel, I immediately go to TripAdvisor and see the reviews on that hotel, and I am not afraid of going back to them and saying, hey, this is the 386th out of 434th hotel in New York.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to. I choose not to stay there. I can't even imagine the last time I went to a new restaurant without yelping at first. I can't imagine an inquiry from a potential sponsor of U-Turn without going to Glassdoor and seeing what their employer brand reputation is. Engaging my network to find out what people really think.
That's a good point, by the way.
You know, we talked about personal branding before. Well, you know, we are guilty by association, or we're successful by association. And so my personal brand and my company brands are built around the people I hang out with. And I'm not going to take a chance. So I rely personally very heavily on the testimonial economy.
What do you think of Airbnb, by the way? I'm just totally curious because I've been doing more Airbnbs lately than hotels. If I'm, let's say I'm in a city for more than, 2 days or 3 days.
Well, here's an example of a company, and I also love Airbnb. Here's an example of a company that had a rough time for a while. Some bad things happened. But rather than get defensive or have the marketing team or the legal team develop a big spin move to counter the allegations and the bad things that have been proven to happen, they owned it. They went online, they went to the press, they went to their customers, and they said, look, safety is our number one concern now. Nothing else, including making money, matters. And that is our mission, right? And people, they did it in such a sincere, open way that people loved them. Again, even though they've just gone through a tough time, and I'm one of those people. I just loved the way from the CEO down, they started wearing that tough time as a learning badge. And so I'm a huge fan of Airbnb, not necessarily because of that room you have to share in New York and Harlem, for $37 a night, but because of the way they owned their own branding and they owned their own failures.
Listen, this is a majorly good topic today. We're down to about 90 seconds, if you can imagine this. Thank you so much, Mark, for sharing your thoughts. What would you like to tell us as we wrap up our interview? Tell us a little bit about Work IQ. I've heard some rumblings.
Well, as many people listening know, we I've been involved with a wonderful organization and consultancy called Switch and Shift, and we are rebranding. We're going to become known as Work IQ in August, WORQIQ, because the reality is that so much of our work in the leadership space wasn't just about leadership. It was about workplace issues, culture issues, happiness optimism issues, right? And so that's our new focus. And along with Sean Murphy and Jennifer Doan and the whole team, we're gonna take a new approach at Workplace Issues with WorkIQ.com.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thanks for being here.
I adore you. You know that. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.